For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, June the 29th, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, summer camp meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. John Boney of Jamaica is the speaker of the afternoon.
Thank you, Lord, for beyond just blessing the word, for quickening the heart and the ears of the hearers, that you may hear and understand what you're doing, Lord. We pray, Lord, that indeed we will feast with you in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. When we shared with you yesterday morning, we were sharing about the church that is his body. That's where we have been centering our attention around. And this afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about the restoration God wants to take place in the church. You see, in the midst of the Lord bringing forth the church that is his body, he has to purge out of the church all the things that are lacking. Now, there has been a problem here before, that in the 60s, when there was the youth rebellion, all they wanted to do was tear down everything that was there. But one thing we ought to note, if you want to tear down what is there, we ought to have something to put in its place. You see, and that was the way it was with Jeremiah. Folks, God didn't only appoint Jeremiah to pull down, to destroy, to tear down. God also appointed him to plant and to build up, to put something in the place of that which was torn down and destroyed. And so in the restoration we are talking about, we have shown you even some of the things that are in the church, in the classical church today, that is not to be. We're showing you even now about the restoration and even some of the things that God desires to have in the midst of his body. God desires to see this. This is by no means exhaustive. We're beginning to show you now. I guess the prophet of restoration to me is Ezekiel. Ezekiel just saw a vision, and you know, when you read the book of Ezekiel, you see this man had such visions of the inmost sanctum of the presence of God. He was privileged of God to see right into the holiest of holies. The descriptions he gave of the creatures of God that he saw, there are few other descriptions in the scripture of such. But he beheld the glory of God, and as he beheld the glory of God, from the heavenly perspective, he could likewise behold that which is on earth and that which needs to be transformed into the glorious image of God. And I see that Ezekiel looked down across the ages into the times in which we are now. And I believe many of the things that he spoke are applicable to the situations that are here today. And this is what he just saw, the glory of God. Let's just turn to the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 1, it's interesting in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened. And I saw visions of God. Tell you, beloved, we are in a day when the heavens indeed have got to be open for us to see visions of God. I remember Jacob. While lying there, he saw a ladder that extended into heaven. And he communed with God there. When we look in John chapter 1, we see the same thing happening, where Jesus begins to reveal himself to Nathanael. And he begins to speak to Nathanael, telling Nathanael, you think you're seeing things now because I've revealed to you my power. You think you've seen things now because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree before you came here. But he said, Nathanael, there are greater things for you to see. He said, you're going to see the heavens open, and you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And I believe we're in a day when God is drawing back the curtain and the heavens are being opened for us to see indeed the Son of Man. And to see the purpose of God, I think, in the spirit realm. There, messengers of God ascending and descending before God. And I believe, indeed, there is a revelation that's beginning to flow from the innermost sanctum of God. One of the reasons I know and I realize that, brethren, is because inevitably, when a people learn how to enter into the presence of God, something begins to happen. Because in the Old Testament tabernacle, in the holy place, right before you got to the curtain to enter into the most holy place, there was one thing that was there, and it was the altar of incense. And daily the priests came and lit the fires there to cause the incense and the sweet savors to enter up unto God. And that incense had to be lit, I guess, even before, once a year, the priest entered into the most holy place. I see in that a picture that before we would enter into the holiest of holies, that there is something that stands at the door there that either hinders us from entering in or ushers us into his presence. And that is the altar of incense, the worship that is there unto God. And you see, it is as we stand before God and as we begin to worship the most holy God that he, by his miraculous power, ushers us into the holiest of holies. And in the holiest of holies, suddenly, it's not just a one-way communication. For inevitably, when a people begin to worship and lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting unto the holy God, when the people in the spirit have been singing and speak mysteries with God the Father, after a while God the Father begins by his spirit to cause the Holy Spirit to minister unto us the revelation of God. And suddenly we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit as is spoken in John chapter 16. When he is come, he'll reveal unto you all things. He shall not speak of himself, but he'll show you things to come. You see, the word of God says, ask of me of things to come concerning my son, and concerning the works of my hand, command ye. But oh, it's in the most holy place when the heavens are opened up and an entrance is granted into the presence of God. And there is a sweet revelation of God that's flowing, and you begin to see God. I believe that's what happened in Isaiah chapter 6. Possibly Uzziah was a hindrance in Isaiah's life. I don't know. Possibly. But in the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And bless God, when every single thing that stands between us and the vision of God the Father is moved out of the way, you're going to begin to see God. You see, I believe most Christians today are like Peter. You know, it says of Peter that he followed the Lord afar off. They're walking, they're following the Lord Jesus. But afar off, when you're following the Lord afar off, things get in your way, folks. Things. But if you follow God closely, it's supposed to be a different story. Then you could behold his presence. I want to tell you there's a glory of God that we have to begin to see. His presence has got to begin to be revealed to us. And I believe God's more anxious to do that than we ever to receive. But Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw the train of his glory filling the temple. And I tell you, when you're in the midst of that place where the train of God's glory begins to fill the temple, suddenly, you know, you lose your sense of space. Because right there in the presence of God, Isaiah, I guess he was so wrapped up in it, he said, the whole earth is full of his glory. And that's what happens when you're right there. Suddenly it seems as though this whole earth is transformed and it becomes full of his glory. And so the heavens were opened up and Ezekiel saw these visions of God in Ezekiel chapter 1. And you know, he saw everything in verse 4. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. And a fire unfolded itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber to the fire. You know, there's a fresh breeze, a fresh wind that's blowing over the earth. It is. A fresh breeze that's blowing over the earth. This morning we were reading from Psalm 68, where it says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let me just turn there for a minute to show you something. Psalm 68, verse 1. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Verse 2 says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. What is it that drives smoke away? Isn't it the wind that comes and drives the smoke away? What is it that's going to come and drive away the smoke? Yes, the fresh wind. All God has to do is blow. And beloved, God doesn't blow hot air. All he's got to do is blow. And suddenly there is a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind that fills all of the house. You know, I guess maybe to some people it would appear that I'm living in a rather ethereal thing, you know. I'm living somewhere up in the clouds. But there is something within my spirit that is excited just about the sense of the presence of God and about the fact that God, the Almighty, could choose to reveal himself to us. Now, could you imagine that the eternal creator, the one from all eternity, could condescend to reveal himself to nobodies as us? Now, that's beyond even my human understanding. It's just beyond me. God would bend down low enough to take the scales off our eyes, to take away the clouds, the fog, and cause us to behold his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what my prayer is? Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we may see. I want to tell you that in this day, God is of a truth revealing. He's showing forth a vision. He's showing forth a new thing. Of a truth, God's speaking. How many of you know that there are pictures in this room? How many of you know there are a lot of voices in this room besides mine now? There are many. If you don't believe it, bring a television here and turn it on. And you'd see the pictures. Change the channel and you find another picture. Bring a radio. Turn it on. And you hear their voice. See, there are myriads of sounds around us. See that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without signification. Now let me jump on back up to verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And you see, there are myriads of voices. There are myriads of trumpeting. Bless God, there is a trumpet that's given forth a certain sound. You know why? So that people could prepare themselves to battle. That's what's happening. God has spoken. This is the word of God. Let me find the scripture. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 3. Let me read verses 6, 7, and 8. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely, and I want you to get a hold of this verse 7. Surely, the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Sandbus coffee stir. You want to know why there's a stir and a prophetic stirring? Because God has spoken. Somebody must speak. And this is the day when the voice of God is being heard. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear it. Because God surely is spoken. I better get to my message. I haven't gotten to it yet. Bless the Lord. Let's turn back to Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 18. So some of the things God's restoring. Ezekiel chapter 18. Now, I'd suggest that you read the entire chapter on your own. Because I'm not going to be able to read all. But let me jump in at verse 19. Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. Neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all the sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. You know, one of the first things I see God is restoring in the church, individual responsibility before God. Individual responsibility before God. Heretofore, people have been as puppets. You know, what do you call them, marionettes? On strings, you know? You tug this string and they do this, you tug the string and they do that. But worst of all, heretofore, people have come to church, as I said here many times before this week, to sit down in the bench, or on the bench. They stand when the bulletin says stand. They sit when the bulletin says sit. They turn to the hymn book to what the bulletin says. Just as puppet control. Heretofore, people also blame the priests, and they blame the preachers, and they blame everyone else for their spiritual mistakes, for their spiritual failures. But you know what? In the present move of the Holy Spirit, God is taking away the excuse of a man. Do you know why God in His Spirit has visited every denominational church by His Spirit? It's not so much to sanctify that church, that denomination. It's not that at all. But God in His sovereignty visited that group so that His word could begin to be heard there. So that His Spirit could be quickened there. That people on their own could begin to hear from God. Then after they've been filled with the Spirit, then they have no excuse anymore. They're going to have to stand before God, because you know why? The Spirit is the chief. See, many people, too many people look at the works of the Holy Spirit among the people as the blessing of God. Some of what we're doing, don't you see, we have the Spirit? Well, you're just a man, some people recently, where they have a spiritual group. And in the spiritual group, there were prophecies recommending prayer to Mary. Everybody said amen. Recommending prayer to Mary, that's what I say. You think those people are not responsible? Because I tell you, if their hearts are in the right place and they're really filled with the Spirit will not bear record with that. You know why it is the Holy Spirit that teaches you? Some people believe now. Now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't need any more teaching because it's the Spirit that teaches. That's not what it means, folks. It means when you hear something, the Holy Spirit, if it is of God, you bear record with it. There'll be just an automatic acquiescence in your spirit, an agreement in your spirit. I want to tell you, folks, that you're responsible for everything that God says to you while you're here. See, the scripture says, in the times of their ignorance, God waits. You know, when you're in ignorance, God looked at our stupid actions and he didn't want to see it. He closed his eyes. I know God has had to close his eyes at a lot of foolishness I did. But now, he commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Let me give you the address on that. That is Acts chapter 17, verse 30. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And you see, in the restoration that God's doing by his Spirit, God is now making you responsible. You see, the gospel of the kingdom is being preached for what? For wickedness. For a testimony. It's either going to be a testimony on behalf of you or a testimony against you. Because I want to tell you, when you hear the word of what God's doing in the earth and you don't respond to it, that word will be a testimony against you. It will be when you stand before God. And you won't be able to say, well, God, people who have never heard it anywhere are beginning to teach it. They've never heard it preached before, but the Holy Spirit is revealing it to them so that the word can come forth. Money against the nations and against the people. You wonder why this afternoon the word of God has said that judgment must begin at the house of God? The reason is because God has got to clean up his church. After they have heard the word and haven't turned, God's going to begin a work of judgment in them. And he's going to clean up because he's coming back for a clean body. And he's got to purify it. So the chap was saying last night, he's going to purify his bloodstream. What is he doing? I tell you, I believe as never before, because it stirs in my heart. I believe as never before, folks. This is a time when God's doing the work in earth. Bringing forth the church that is his body. The church that is his body of the people who heard his word and obey. The people who respond, the people whose lives are being cleaned up. You know, their God has brought them out of Egypt. And their God has also taken Egypt out of them. Both. That's what God is doing.
So an individual responsibility. Ezekiel 33. So thou, verse 7. Thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. You hear that? I have made you a watchman. Ezekiel 33, verse 7. Did you think it was the preachers, the so-called ministers? God made a watchman? You think that's what it is? Because we are still a part of the China Nicolaitan teaching. You know what the Nicolaitans thought in Revelation? They suppressed the laity. Victory over the laity. I want to tell you that God does not recognize a clergy and a laity. Because we are all the trails of God. The clergy of God. That's what you are. And if you're not going to be able to be exclusive, well, God, they were ministers and I was not so much a minister. Because we've all been given that self-same ministry of reconciliation. I tell you, bless God, because in this day, he's bringing back the ministry of the whole body. So that, beloved brethren, you as a part of the body, you have a ministry. You have one. You don't have to ask. I tell you, yes, you do. Do you know any part of your body that doesn't have a function? Name a single part of your body that doesn't have a function. There is not one. Son of man, I have made you a watchman. Oh, God has given unto us as the ministers. He's given us a watchful responsibility in the midst of his body. He said, as watchmen, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and thou shalt warn them. That's what God has said. You turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62. From verse 5. Oh, I got to read from verse 1. I love Isaiah 62 very much. Because it shows part of what God's going to do in the earth here. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. I'm so tempted to stop and preach on this, but I'm not going to do it. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. He that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Ah, there's a kind of a determination that's in this. That's what God is seeking to do a work in the spirits of people. They'll see themselves as watchmen upon the wall defending the city of God. So they'd be defending. Defending the purpose of God. They'll never hold their peace day nor night. They'll give God no rest till he establish. I want to tell you, the purpose of God in this earth is not fully established yet. The attitude of our hearts ought to be to give God no rest until he establishes. If you're in a city, where there is not the body of Christ coming forth freely. If you're in a city where you're still tied down to a denominational church where you can't worship God in freedom, you ought to give God no rest, no peace, until He establishes. And quit trying to go there and change what is. God's not about to change what is. What do you ought to do? Take upon yourself by the Holy Spirit the burden of the Lord and begin to give God no rest, no peace until He establishes, until He brings forth His body. In whatsoever city you are, if what is there is not the final, it's not the thing that's bringing forth the body of Christ. And this is what you ought to do. Get together a group of people. Ask God to give you a group of people who are really dedicated and committed to God. And get on your prayer board and begin to pray. You know what it was said of, what history said of James? It says James prayed so much that his knee became as callous as a camel's knee. He spent so much time on his knees in prayer. You're not going to see the body of Christ come forth in your city until you adopt this attitude. God, I'm not going to give you any rest. I'm not going to give you any peace until you establish. So I believe in every single city, God wants to establish His body. In every city, they're going to be a people of praise. I believe that. When God's people get in a place where they give God no rest, no peace, go to God continually. And stand before God. God, I'm here. I'm here as an intercessor. I'm here as a legal representative of the body of Christ. God, I'm here to stand before you. That you do. That's what God wants us to do. You start with just three or four people. You begin to meet a couple times a week. And don't meet to discuss theology. Meet together and get on your knees and begin to intercede in the Spirit. As Chuck was talking this morning, begin to do that. I tell you in this, I say, God, destroy everything that is here that's not of you. In Jesus' name, we speak destruction to it. Division to it. I believe in praying according to the will of God. God has said, everything that He's not planted, He's going to root it up. Amen? And if what is there is not moving in the purposes of God, if it's not bringing forth the body of Christ, God didn't plant it, folks. God didn't plant it. Somebody else did. Somebody else did. We ask God just to bring forth His thing. And I tell you, give Him no rest, no peace, until. How many of you desire to see the body of Christ come forth in your city? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you then, you ought to go to God. Fulfill your responsibility to the body of Christ. And if you're in the midst of something that you know, right there God's beginning to work, but it's not coming forth, then you still need to get back to the same old thing and pray it through until it be established. Amen? Let me read you another verse here from Isaiah 50. Let's see. The Lord spoke this to me about a little over a year ago while I was ministering in Jamaica, from Isaiah 40, Verses 9 and 10. And I believe, well, at that time, what we did, we went upon the hill. Well, I didn't go, but some of the other people that did that went upon the hills overlooking the city of Kingston and read these two verses. The three verses, verses 9, 10, and 11. Read those verses over Kingston. Let me read them to you. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Say unto the cities, behold your God. And notice what will happen when you begin to do that. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hands. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. You go in the midst of your cities and you begin to announce this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See unto your city, city! Behold your God. Yes. Behold your God. Behold your God. Behold your God. I tell you, I believe that the body of Christ is beginning to arise. The body of Christ is beginning to rise. The Lord gave me a vision recently where in the vision we saw from every corner of the earth, here were the people beginning to come. And here they were coming and marching with banners. Turn with me to Song of Solomon. I believe this is where the vision had a scriptural foundation. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. They were beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, and comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Verse 8. There are 70 queens, 40 concubines, virgins without number. There are a lot of them in the earth. But verse 8. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She's the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? Who is she? Who is she? Who are they speaking about? I believe they're speaking about the body of Christ. She's the one, the choice one. The Lord our God. The only one. You pray and ask God. God, in that vision we just saw, just from every corner of the earth, just that people of God beginning to come. Just from every corner. Seemed as though there were multitudes just beginning to rise up upon the earth. The Lord gave us the privilege of seeing that established in Kingston. I believe just as it was in Kingston, just so in other cities will be established. I know it's in Indianapolis. I know it's there where Brother Steve ministers. And the Lord is just bringing forth just the beauty of his body. I want to tell you, I have no other ambition but to see that the body of Christ comes forth. I have no other ambition. One thing I know, God is at this day just knocking down all one-man ministries. You know the day when there was the chief puncher who went around, worked all the miracles, they were slipping right from the edge of his finger, God began taking every one of them out of the way. And some of them fell quite hard. And you know what God's doing, folks? In the face of that, he's raising up his body. Out of his body are flowing gifts of healing, miracles. They're flowing tongues, interpretation, every such thing. And I want to tell you, if you're looking for a man with all the miracles to come into the place and work the miracles, you ought to look for the plural man. I rejoice in it because I see it beginning to happen. Just claim it for your cities. Claim it for your town. Just claim it, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just say, Lord, I claim that your body is going to rise up and be established here. God, I give myself to prayer and fasting if necessary. You see, the big thing that hinders the body of Christ from coming forth in any city is one ruling spirit. Denominationalism. That's the ruling spirit that hinders it from coming forth. But God has given the honor unto his saints to cast down that spirit. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see his body come forth. I'm belaboring the point because I believe it's something important in the heart of God that we realize the responsibility that has been given to us. And I claim it for every single city that's here. Amen? How many of you in your cities at this point need to see the body of Christ established? Ah, bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, give unto these people the desire of their heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand in agreement with them against every spirit of denominationalism and every such spirit that would hinder the coming forth of the body of Christ. And Satan, in Jesus' name, we bind your principalities and powers. In Jesus' name, we cast down that ruling prince. And we loose the people of God to hear your word. We loose the people of God to receive the message of the Spirit. And we loose the body of Christ to come forth and to be birthed in all of these cities. Father, cause that this glorious army with banners to begin to rise forth in every one of the cities that is established here. For the glory of your name, build your temple, O God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it, folks. I believe it. That's the burden of my heart, to see that Christ be made successful in every single city. And I tell you what, when we were back in the denomination, we used to sing the song, Hold the Fort for I am coming. Folks, and we held the fort, and we held the fort, and we held the fort, and we went nowhere. This is not the time for holding the fort, brothers. It's the time moving forward. One brother said, you never saw a gate running down the road chasing a man. Did you? The Bible says the gates of hell will not stand against the church of God. You know what? The church of God has got to be going somewhere. It's got to be moving on. Bless the Lord, we are moving on even now. That's just point one.
God does not live in time.
He lives in eternity. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. And this next point we make is that of restoration under the true shepherds. And you see in Ezekiel 34, the problem that you know is in most of the heirs round about us. In verse 2, you notice, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves.
Should not the shepherd feed the flock?
I've had so many people come to me and say, oh, in our church, we don't get fed. We don't get fed. We don't know the word of God. We have to go somewhere else to get fed. I want to tell you this afternoon, the church is not the place for evangelism. Amen? Well, whether you say amen or not, it still doesn't make a difference. Because in most churches, Sunday morning there's an evangelistic service. Sunday night there's an evangelistic service. Wednesday night, there's a prayer meeting. And you spend 45 minutes in, quote unquote, a Bible study and 15 minutes in prayer. And you've had a prayer meeting. What you get in the Bible study is the same old pablum that you've been getting for years. I want to tell you, the people of God cannot go on to maturity if they're not fed the meat of the word. As a matter of fact, in most places, you haven't even been fed the milk. What's the milk? You read it in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, the six doctrines that are there. That's the milk of the word of God. And in most places, they haven't even been taught the milk, the foundational principles. How long? No wonder there's going to be a falling away in the last day. No wonder. It has to be because there is no foundation. It saddens my heart when people come and say, we don't receive any teaching in our church. You know what I say to them? Well, what are you doing there? I said, well, that's why I go to church. Or some excuse. If you're not receiving teaching, go someplace where you can get teaching. I'll tell you something else. A lot of charismatics now. Bless the Lord, he's given a lot of ministries in the church. And well, you know, they're teachers that are sent forth from the body of Christ, and they go around teaching. So a lot of these people now, they come to meetings now to hear these teachers. A teacher comes into town, rents a hotel, and has a meeting there, and the people come there to be taught. And they say, hallelujah, now we get the teaching, we can continue in our church. And notice the pronoun, in our church, and we can still get teaching. Isn't it wonderful how God's providing for us? Now, most of those people grow in head knowledge. And they go around just as Paul said to Timothy, heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. There is no product that comes forth in their lives. And I want to tell you, if the word has not become a life principle, you haven't learned anything. Not a single thing you've learned. If that which you've heard has not become a life principle, you have not learned anything. Go to all the meetings you want to go. Psalm 1 said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it's only the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Take the tree, root it up every once in a while, and put it somewhere else. After a couple weeks, root it up, put it some other place. Think it's going to grow? But that's the way. That's the way charismatics have been functioning. That's what has been happening, and it stirs up my spirit. Because in many, many communities, there are thousands of spiritual people that left their churches when they got filled with the Spirit and went and sat at home. And you know the only place they get fellowship? Number one. And number two, when some of them turn at the hotel, they run there. And boy, they could tell you what every teacher teaches. Or from tape. They can tell you what every tape says. You see, there is a building up that comes from the corporate ministry that you won't get from a tape or from a TV. Because God has provided in the midst of the gathering together of the believers the functioning of the gift that's intended for your edification, and you'll get it no other place. Because you see, God has no wandering star. Wandering stars, there's clouds without water. Read it in the book of Jude, and you'll see it. That's why the purpose of God is to get the people. You're saved and your spirit will find a place. Find a place where the word of God is flowing.
where the people are going ahead in the things of God. And commit yourself there. I don't believe there's any other solution. Commit yourself right there. A place where you can be led. According again to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, God has given the fivefold ministries for the mending of the nets of the people so that they could do the work of the ministry until we all come. You need to be in a place where your net can be mended so you can guard and catch the fish. That's what you need to be. For the shepherd, they don't feed the flock. Listen, James chapter 3 verse 1 says, my brethren, be not many teachers. Why? Knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. And every man was of a function in the post of a pastor or a teacher or a shepherd or an elder, whatever name you want to call them. If they have not taught the whole counsels of God, they're going to have to give God account of it. Paul could make that declaration. He said, folks, I must beg day or night to teach unto you the whole counsel. The whole counsel of God. Not the tangent, but the whole counsel. Apart from that is a condemnation that comes upon the teachers and the ministers. It's going to be a sad thing when we stand before God to see many of our beloved ministers being judged by God, being beaten because they were not faithful. And I tell you, those of you who are ministers like myself, those of you who function in the so-called capacity of ministers, we better be faithful to what the Word. Seek out the Word. Search it out. Let the Holy Spirit course through our being. Administer the word unto us so that we can be faithful in ministering the whole counsel of God. Another thing in verse 3. Ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. And that begins to happen too when one of the sheep go out and are fed some other place. They come back in the church and share the nice things that they learn. Very soon the pastor kills them. You are a Sunday school teacher or some such thing. And you begin in your Sunday school class to share the things that you learn outside of the church. And soon they get wind of it. And here they come for you. You either change what you're teaching or you can't teach. You know what you say to them? Bless the Lord. I can't cast my pearls before swine. Well, you got to be a bit more subtle than that. But you know what you do? Now listen, they don't receive the word. You see, people tell me, well, the Lord wants me in my church for witness so I could share with them what I learned. Well, bless the Lord. And if the Lord wants you there for witness, you better get up, open your mouth, and speak. Otherwise, really, you're not fulfilling your purpose there. Now, I guarantee you, if you open your mouth and begin to speak, which God said to you to speak, very soon, they'll help you down the steps. Oh, the left one, all right? Yes, they'll disfellowship you very soon. Because the masses do not want to hear this word. They have determined they don't want to hear it. No use trying to give it to them. Because instead they're going to turn and they're going to destroy you. They're going to seek to kill you. I know one brother came to some of our meetings and got filled. And he was under the same kind of foolish guise. Well, the Lord wants me in my church to be a witness. The pastor got wind that he was filled with the Spirit. And he was hearing the word. The pastor came to him and said, well, Brother Jim, the Lord bless you. We hear that you've gotten filled. Wonderful. He said, please don't tell anybody about it. And we'd prefer if you don't speak in tongues here. Now, the sad thing is that, brother, compromise. That's the sad thing. Compromise, and he has sat there, and he's barren spiritually. He's dead. Dead spiritually. Worse yet, it's the church that has the sign up in the sanctuary, speaking in tongues in the basement on Thursday night only. Oh, yes? Who ever heard of a man legislating to God? God will only permit you to speak here on Thursday night. And please, God, go to the basement. So you won't pollute our sanctuary.
God's going to judge, folks. God's going to judge, and he's going to rip that thing to shreds. He's going to have to tear it apart because it's not of him. Verse 4. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Well, you know the nice kind of theology. Well, suffer for the Lord. You're sick. That's your cross. Dear, it's suffer for the Lord. Suffer graciously. We're ministering to you the words that you learn how to suffer for the Lord. Folks, if when you're sick, you're suffering from the Lord, please don't go to the doctor to get any medicine to take you out of your suffering. If God said to you that's your cross to bear, it, don't go to the doctor to get rid of your cross. Because you know what? You're being double-minded. Unstable! God gave you a cross and you're trying to get rid of it? Who are you to do that? You ought to grin and bear it. Even if it kills you. And a cross is a place to die on, folks. It's not something to wear around your neck. You know, it says something in the book of Chronicles, I think it is, about Asa. It says Asa was sick in his feet. And Asa sought not to the Lord, but to the doctors. And the next statement was, and he died. And he slept with his father. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to doctors. That's for you to determine before God. But there's a higher principle. First, if any of you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's first. Most people leave it as a last resort when the doctors fail them. And I want to tell you, God will not be a last resort. Because God's a jealous God, folks. You better put him first. And for this cause, many are weak, sickly, many die. And for all those who refuse to minister to those who are sick and instead give them a pat on the back and tell them bear their cross, there's a judgment of God awaiting them. That's what my Bible says. It's such a judgment. Bless God that these signs shall follow them that believe. And I want to tell you, even in the ministries that are here, there's not a single one of them who can heal. There's not a single one of them who can drive a demon out of you. They're just merely instruments of God. And when you come, you see, a lot of people, we still have that same old, denominational, Babylonian mentality. Ah, this man is used of God, so let's seek him out personally. If he can only lay his hands on us, it's going to be all right. I want to tell you, if you set a man up, and if you put so much of your faith in him, God almost always has to knock him down for your benefit. And every man that you lift up, that you place above God himself, you're jeopardizing that man and his ministry. God's going to knock him down. If you love someone who has a ministry, bless them. But listen, don't put your faith in them more than God. I tell you, if you're sick and you need ministry, just seek out somebody, a brother or sister in the Lord, and submit yourself to them in the fear of the Lord. Let them minister unto you. It's faith, folks. And the object of faith is supposed to be God. That's where it's supposed to be. God, you put your faith in him, the smallest child. Can minister to you in the name of the Lord. I tell you, I prefer some children to minister to me more than some big-name preachers. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard some children prophesy. I tell you, they prophesy better than most adults. They have a purity. Really. They have a purity in the Word because, you know, with adults, there's a problem many times they're prophesying, and after the Lord stopped, they keep on going full steam ahead. Or, you know, they may want somebody to hear something, and they kind of put it in quotation marks, thus said the Lord, etc. And they help the Lord out to give a message to that person. Bless the Lord. Well, for the children who haven't been taught that. You want to know why in the kingdom you have to be as a child? You really have to be as a child. There's a purity there in the ways of God. Well, let's just mention a couple more things from this chapter here. Though they have not healed the sick. Verse 7. Well, verse 5. Let's mention verse 5. They were scattered because there is no shepherd. Where you're in such a condition, where you're in such a situation as is mentioned in the first four verses here, it is as though you have no shepherd. And hence the reason for the scattering when the wolves come. Let's see. Yeah, back to verse 4. It says, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, which was broken, neither have ye brought away that which was driven away, neither have ye sought which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. This is the next point. The shepherds rule with force and cruelty. Now, no one has any right, no shepherd, etc., has any right to tell you, ladies, when you should have your next kid. That's a decision for you and your husband. And there is no minister to whom God has given the right to violate the sanctity of the bedroom. Not a single one. As a matter of fact, you see, ministers and those who operate in authority in God, in the church of God, their relationship to the people are in the things of God. Beyond that, they have no rights in your life except what you give them. See, somebody comes to me for counsel. I seek the Lord and I give them counsel according to the word of God and whatsoever matter it may be. But even after that, they have the responsibility before God to determine what God wants them to do. They have the responsibility to choose. And my relationship with them after that is not based on whether they do what I suggested to them or not. Because, you see, one thing I believe in, folks, I believe in the priesthood of the believer. And there is absolutely no man who ought to act as a mediator between you and God except Christ Jesus. Now, there are a lot of things that are going on around where your life is ruled by cruelty and force, and you don't have the freedom. It sickened my heart to hear. Well, somebody came to me and said, well, my shepherd told me I couldn't hear from God for myself. I'm not an old enough Christian. I really couldn't hear from God. I went to him and I told him. This young man wanted to go to a meeting somewhere. And, well, he's supposed to go check it out with the shepherd first. And he went to the shepherd and said, I believe the Lord has told me that I'm supposed to go to such and such a meeting. The shepherd said, no, you ought not to go. The guy said, well, God told me. And he said, well, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Oh, God, forgive us. And this is not just something of yesteryear, folks. This is something that's happening right now. Right now, I believe in the priesthood of every believer, that every believer has a right to approach the throne for themselves. You see, even my wife, she comes to me, well, okay, she has a dream and she wants me to give her the interpretation. You know what I say to her? I said, you go seek God first for yourself.
Then come back and I'll confirm it. But you better learn to hear from God for yourself. And I tell you, people of God, you better learn to hear from God for yourself. Because you don't need any crutches. Suppose you're in a place where your crutch is not. What are you going to do? Twiddle your thumbs, take a coin, flip it up. Heads the will of God, tails the human flesh. Is that what you're going to do? I tell you, we need to learn how to hear from God for ourselves. And not put ourselves under any kind of witchcraft. That's what it is. It's witchcraft when somebody tries to exercise control over you. And tell you what color car you should buy. Tell you that you should sell your house and give them the money because God told them that. I say, if God told you that, you better give them a chance to tell me. There are a lot of funny things going on. In this group that we know of, this young lady went up to this man and said, God told me you're supposed to marry me. The guy humbly agreed and married her, and he's regretting it since. And you know, she was so successful that suddenly a lot of other young ladies started hearing the voice of God. And started going with the word of God. God told me you're to marry me. That's not where it's at, brothers. I tell you, if any of you ladies, for instance, a man came up to you and said, well, God told me that you're to marry me, say, bless the Lord. Now I'm going to wait until he speaks to me for himself. If he can speak to you, let him come speak to me about it. Amen? I tell you, we need just to learn. God just wants to speak to us. And we need just to learn to hear from God for ourselves. There's an open channel. God's telephone number is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what God has said. And you don't need a shepherd to hear from God for you. Any good shepherd, well, let's use a scriptural word. Any good elder will see to that you learn to hear from God for yourself. See to it that you are flowing in the Spirit for yourself. Anything else is nothing less than witchcraft. That's exactly what it is. That's why God going to destroy all this type of thing that is here. In verse 10, God says, I'm against the shepherds. I require my flock at their hand. They're going to have to answer to God. Because there are a lot of lies that have been made a wreck of. God says they're going to have to answer him for the flock that's before them. Bless the Lord that the day is coming when the Lord will bring his own sheep under his own care. Because I tell you, there is no man who's a shepherd. He's just an under-shepherd. You know who the shepherd is? He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. There's one shepherd, and really there's one sheepfold. Every other man is an under-shepherd, and he's got to take his orders from the shepherd. Bless the Lord. I'm going to stop here. We'll continue this maybe tomorrow. Let's stand together. Yes. My sister here had a vision that she said she'd like to bring forth. Come on, come and do it.
Earlier while we were singing, when the other prophecies were coming, I had a vision. The Lord gives me a vision often, and then he gives me the scripture to bring as a prophecy. The vision was I was in a dark place, and it was night, and there was a moon out. And looking through the trees, there were owls and bats flying toward me. And he quickened the scripture to me, and it's there's several, but it's down here in the bottom of it. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. If you want to read the whole chapter, it's Isaiah 2.
Bless God, it is the Lord alone who will be exalted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Knock on the door. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yea, indeed have I spoken. Yea, indeed have I said. That yea, I shall do work in the earth. For indeed out of every city and out of every tongue shall a people come forth who know my name, a people of praise, a people of the Lord your God, shall they come forth. And I will cause to rise up in the midst of them men after my own heart. I'll cause to rise up in the midst of them men who know the Lord their God. And yea, indeed, those who do know the Lord their God shall be strong and do great exploits. For yea, indeed, ye have not seen anything as it before. For I do a totally new thing in the earth, said the Lord your God. For yea, I shall change, and I shall turn, and I shall overturn, and I shall cause everything that is now to be shaken and to fall. And out of the midst of it I shall cause to rise up a plant of renown. Yea, indeed, I shall cause out of the midst of it to rise up, yea, even a branch. And yea, that branch shall move in the Lord your God. For yea, I do visit the earth. I do visit my people. And yea, indeed, as you pray, yea, in many cities even now, do I cause a stirring. For yea, I have sent forth my spirit that shall blow upon the corn, that shall blow upon the wheat. Shall cause the grain to come forth. For ye have uttered my voice, and many have heard. I have uttered my word, and many have heard. And I have stirred within their spirit, so that they are ready to respond. Know ye this day that it is a sovereign act of the Lord your God. And yea, I do it for my name's sake. I do it for my cause that I determined to establish in the earth. For yea, I do bring forth a thing of beauty. I do bring forth a thing of joy.
in all the earth. And as you pray, ye have loosed it. For ye have not, I said, that the kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ. For in many cities as he returned there, shall he realize a stirring. Then he realize a stirring. You shall give yourself more, much more to pray and to seek in me. And as you pray and as you seek me, shall I begin to fit together the pieces of the puzzle. For here I have them all laid out already, just to be wedded together. And here many of you shall see people come out of the woodwork. And as they come out of the woodwork, shall they desire to join themselves together with you in this the purpose of it. And ye shall know that it is a sovereign work. For in many places shall you see even people who are crying out for the purpose of the Lord your God. Join yourselves together with them, said the Lord. And ye I shall cause my body to be knit together in a new way. Your city shall realize the power of your God. For ye in your city shall there be the manifest presence of your God amongst you. For ye shall return to your home and take back with you a new presence. You shall take back with you a new anointing. You shall take back with you a new release, said the Lord your God. And ye as ye go, speak unto the city, saying, behold your king. Speak unto the city, saying, behold your God. Indeed, as you speak, shall I have gone forth already to do the work? And yet, as you speak, shall creative words come out of your mouth? And I shall hasten to perform it, for indeed it shall be the words from my mouth that ye shall utter. And ye, that which is created shall be of me. For yea, I tell you that there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Yea, I tell you that there is a stirring in the mulberry tree. Yea, there is a going on in the midst of my people, said the Lord your God, for I have quickened their spirit. And they do know my voice, for the men who are my sheep, and they know my voice. And yea, I tell you, I will work. And I will work, and I will work, said the Lord your God. And your eyes shall behold my glory. Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand ye still, and see, for I shall work on the behalf of my own name, even in this earth. And then shall the earth rejoice when the desire of all nations comes. Yea, for indeed, this must be done before my son returns. For yea, we wait with anxious breath for it to take place. Yea, your prayer must be even so. Come, Lord Jesus. So saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do it, Lord Jesus. Lord, raise up men in this place. Raise up men upon whom you shall put your anointing and in whom your word shall be. Raise up shepherds, Lord. Raise up leaders to minister in this field. Lord, in many of the cities where you shall raise up bodies, bring forth men. Bring forth men, oh my God. Mighty in your spirit. Mighty in the power of the Lord, oh God. And establish your body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.